This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Melaghana's Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
There is a dude in New Zealand who is using one of his brand new toys, a flashy new toy that he has bought for himself, I'm assuming, in the form of a drone. Now, drones at the best of times can sometimes be a bit annoying to those around you because you get the little That can be annoying to people. Obviously, some people also say it's an invasion of privacy because you can see whatever. You've got like this little personalized thing that can go wherever it wants. So a lot of people take a lot of issues with drones. This guy has decided I'm going to be the most annoying dude with a drone of all time and has decided to rat out 20 of his neighbors and people that live around him for non-compliant backyard restrictions. So if they have maybe a deck that's too long or an above-ground pool that they didn't get checked or whatever.
Who is this person?
He's some New Zealand dude.
No, but Mindhunter on Netflix, where they get in the heat of a serial killer.
Psychopath,
I'm not saying this is a serial killer.
I'm saying psychopath.
This is a step down from that.
Yeah.
Who is this guy? We need someone to analyze why you'd want your entire neighborhood to hate you this much.
Well, because I guess he didn't. I think he thought it was going to be a victimless. No, not a crime, a victimless, dob-in. No one was going to know it was him. Where's this drone going at night? It's just flying off and then no one really knows. And then 2 days later, you get a knock on the door going, hey, do you have a extraordinarily long balcony?
That's a good point, actually. How did they work out it was the guy with the drone that was dobbing everyone in?
It's probably everyone around him has been dobbed in for something except him.
So they've done the maths.
Yeah. And they saw, maybe someone saw the drone lower itself into his backyard.
Yeah,
and
they're
I bet you it's that guy.
It's Batman returning to the Batcave.
Yeah.
Except the worst kind of that ever.
Yeah.
No, look, I'm not a fan of this. How creepy is it to A, spy on your neighbours, and then B, take that information and go to the council with it? Nah, this is no good.
This guy is a vigilante because at the end of the day, that people could turn around and go, hey, you're not allowed to look into my backyard. And the police would go, well, that's true. You're kind of breaking the law to dob others in.
I reckon this guy, by the way, is one of these guys that you'll see, first and foremost on a current affair for Neighbor from Hell.
Yeah, yeah.
But then also you'll see him on one of those architectural design shows and he'll have his own roller coaster in the backyard and stuff.
Yeah.
Something that got no council approval. He's just trying to point the finger at everyone else so no one looks in his backyard.
He's very worried.
Don't worry about me. Look at old mate. That path shouldn't be there. Yeah. He hasn't got approval for that.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, the ever faithful old Pope.
Pope Francis
has essentially... Actually, I don't know what the Pope's responsibilities are, other than to just
being the Pope.
He doesn't run the Vatican City, does he? He's just kind of the
dude. Can we please not delve into this?
Okay.
I don't know at all.
I don't know what the Pope does, but the Pope got stuck in an elevator.
He was in a Pope pickle.
He was in a bit of a Pope pickle. I was going to say, let's not discuss it, but let's also make fun of him.
He's fine. He was stuck in a lift for a little bit.
He was in a Pope predicament for a while on Sunday because he tried to get in an elevator to go up to the balcony, I'm guessing, that he does the Sunday prayers on, the big Sunday prayers, got stuck in the elevator. So it was very late. People started going, oh my God, where's the Pope? Have they picked a new Pope? They usually light a fire for that kind of stuff.
What colour smoke do they use for Pope stuck in the lift?
Pope stuck in the lift, I think, is
purple.
It's pink Pope. Pink smoke for a...
He's just stuck in the lift. Don't worry about it, guys.
He's going to be a slight delay. There'd be a slight delay smoke. I don't know if there's stuck in the lift smoke. He's pretty old. So being stuck in the lift when you're kind of old would be pretty scary.
There's probably a chair in there.
A chair?
Well, fancy lifts have chairs.
Do they?
I'd say the Vatican's a fancy lift.
I don't think I've ever seen a chair.
Some classy hotels have lifts in chairs.
That is nice.
Yeah. He's probably got a chair in there.
He's probably just had a sit down. He's probably just had a time to think to himself. Maybe he's had a prayer while he's in there.
How long was he in the lift?
He was only in there for 25 minutes.
How is this world news?
I don't know. Well, it's because he was late to Sunday prayer and everyone was like,
so
kind
if this
of
was just
out.
A Tuesday, yeah, he probably
this was,
wouldn't.
Yeah. If this was like a Wednesday and the Pope was just going to breakfast and he got stuck in the elevator for 10 minutes, no one would report about it. But because he was late, everyone's like, how long was he in there? 25 minutes.
God. Certainly, not trying to compare myself to the Pope here, but I've been stuck in a lift before.
How long for?
Up an hour and a half.
See, there you go.
So that's more nerve-wracking. So me and a bunch of mates, we were going to see ACDC in Melbourne, and we were a bit jazzed up, a bit excited.
We had
a few beers.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're a bit drunk.
Yeah, so we were jumping in the lift, and that causes the lift to go into self-secure shutdown mode.
Of course.
The lift doesn't plummet to the bottom of the shaft.
Very safe.
We got stuck there. We had to push a little phone button. Yeah. Guy was like, you've been jumping in the lift? We're like, no. It's like, there's a camera in there. We're like, cool.
One of us is just very fat. I'm sorry, sir. Who came and got you?
Guy had to come and reset the lift.
Firefighters. No firefighters.
Just because the lift just did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't actually a malfunction.
Yeah. See, that's at least
hour
that's
and a
good.
Half. Yeah. I think the guy left us in there on purpose to teach us a lesson.
Yeah, the guy's like, I'll go out and have some food and then I'll come back. They're not gonna suffocate in there. They'll
they're not
be
gonna
fine.
Eat each other. It's exactly. Only an hour and a half.
And then he comes back and there's just one of you. That'd be very scary.
You shouldn't have left me for so long.
I would like to know on 13, 10, 60, let's beat the Pope. How long were you stuck in the elevator for? If you were stuck in an elevator for more than 25 minutes, let us know on 13, 10, 60 right now. Because everyone's carrying on. The Pope was barely gone for half an hour. Mm.
You know, the funniest thing is being stuck in a lift, particularly in Canberra, because there aren't, I mean, the highest buildings you got in Canberra are sort of your 15 floors, your sort of 14 floors.
You could have got stuck in the Telstra Tower lift.
Well, that's true, I guess. But the point I'm trying to make is you'd just be mad that you didn't take the stairs the entire time.
Yeah, that's
you'd be
true.
Like, this would have taken me 10 minutes if I'd just taken the stairs.
Yeah, I'd be done. I'd be more fit.
It's not like a 70-floor building where you're like, well, I had to take the lift.
Exactly.
13, 10, 60 is the number to call right now. Let's see. I'm not sure if I'm wild with the vernacular of let's beat the Pope, but let's see.
Yeah,
if you can best
let's outdo the Pope's
time of being stuck in the lift for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
I was going to say Canberra's home of hits and old school, and I'm just reading a story about the earthquake they're about to talk about, which happened near Gungahlin.
Yep.
So I guess it is Gungahlin's home of hits and old school as well because it's in Canberra.
I mean, there's a radio station called Queanbeyan FM, but I think we... excluding a lot of the audience, if we say like, "Hey,
Gungahlin
FM," everyone else not so much.
Hey, no, welcome to everybody who can hear this right now.
Canberra FM.
Talking about Gungahlin for a little bit though, because Monday night at around about 1:30 a.m. there was an earthquake just near Sutton, apparently.
Sutton.
Which is, meant it was very, very feelable in certain homes in Gungahlin.
Okay,
guess where I live?
In Gungahlin.
Gungahlin. Guess what I didn't feel?
The earthquake.
An earthquake on Monday. I was asleep.
What did it register as?
2.0 magnitude.
I've had indigestion worse than that.
Yeah, so okay. Look, the thing I'm upset about here is not so much this happening or anything like that, because I didn't feel it, didn't know it happened, whatever. Yeah. Right? I live in a multi-story apartment building in Gungahlin that's been built within recent times. So, look, I'm glad I didn't feel it, because it means it's sturdy, and that makes me happy.
Yeah. Well, when did it also happen?
1:30 a.m.
Cool, so you've been dead
asleep. But, I mean, I also didn't wake me up, which is great news.
Yeah.
Didn't notice any cracks anywhere when I woke up. Yeah. So that's fantastic.
Because strong breezes are stronger than that.
Yeah, that's okay. So let's get to the actual crux of this whole thing that I'm really upset about this morning. All right? And keep in mind, I'm pissed off. I didn't feel it. Mm. I thought a couple of weeks ago I actually felt one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like a weird sort of vibration and I was like, oh God, that's got to be an earthquake. Looked on all the websites, the geoscience websites and all that stuff. No earthquake, nothing.
You're just feeling,
I think I just hadn't drunk enough water that day and I was just feeling
just
a bit dizzy.
Up a bit quick,
that's the thing. And that makes me mad.
Yeah.
These things, nature always does this crap when I'm not ready for it. So
has a little earthquake.
Eclipses, shooting stars, all that stuff.
I mean, they publicize when eclipses are going to be
pretty heavily. Listen to me. This always happens. These massive nature events always happen when I'm not there or don't know what's happening or I'm just not ready for it.
Mm.
And what ends up happening is I read about this stuff in the news.
Yeah.
And then when I think it's happened, not at all.
You're
being
just delusional.
Silly.
Yeah.
Don't be silly.
Yeah.
I would like to be able to have some kind of a warning that this is going to happen.
An earthquake warning? Yeah, a lot of people would. Especially people that live on the
tectonic plates.
Yeah, San Andreas, the thing that goes off all the time. Everyone in New Zealand.
Scientists, let's get into predicting earthquakes a little bit better.
Just so you can...
Just so I know when they're going to happen.
You can enjoy them a little bit more. Not for any other reason. My God.
This is a distinctly Australian privilege, I think, because earthquakes don't tend to get historically that horrific.
And I think scientists are also, I mean, this is going to be good news for you, but I really don't want you to think that this is good news for you. Scientists are working on this.
Yeah, right.
It's just impossible for them to do it.
Okay, so what it boils down to is probably I just need to pay more attention to when an eclipse is happening so I can get this nature stuff out of my system. Okay, good. All right.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, you know what's going to happen on Sunday? The Camp Quality Classic Cruise. It is going to be underway. You could be involved in it. All you need to do is keep listening up. We're going to give you more details on that very soon. But Camp Quality, an absolutely amazing charity to be raising money for. They do some incredible work.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to tell us a little bit about why this cause is so important, we've got somebody who is going to share with us their own journey with Camp Quality. Her name's Jess Kircher. We're very, very grateful for her to come on here this morning and explain a little bit about Camp Quality and the work they do. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning, guys. guys. How are you?
Not too bad.
Doing great.
Thank you very much. Now, look, here's the thing. We're very excited about the Classic Cruise. It's raising money for Camp Quality. Can you explain to people a bit from your experience why Camp Quality is such an important cause to be raising money for?
Well, look, Camp Quality to us is an amazing charity. We came into contact with Camp Quality back in 2009 when my eldest daughter, Jade, was diagnosed with cancer. And look, Camp Quality is just brilliant. They do giggle therapy sessions in the hospital. I vividly remember the very first time that Jade saw Giggle pop his head around the door. She was able to experience so many in-hospital art and music programs. She was visited by the puppets. But outside of that, they also do, beads of encouragement for every single procedure that the kids go through, whether it's a blood test, whether it's a central line flush, chemotherapy, radiation, anything. And some of these kids that Camp Quality support have metres upon metres of beads. So, you know, you can imagine the impact that Camp Quality is able to assist with, both in and out of hospital.
I've got friends and family that have been benefited by Camp Quality as well. And I think I was talking to one of my friends about it, and just like helping to distract from what the horrible things you're going through is a big part of what Camp Quality does. Would you say that's fair?
Absolutely, because it's not just the child with cancer. It's a sibling.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the parent. A cancer affects not just the child or the patient. It affects the extended family, and Camp Quality offer support for the siblings and the families through, you know, their kids' camps, which allow the patient or the child experiencing cancer, if they're well enough, to go on and just be taken away and have a normal childhood. It also supports the siblings of those. Many siblings, you know, are young and they don't understand why they can't play with their brother and sister like other children can. So it also allows families to go away and just reconnect, rebuild, meet other like families that are going through the same thing, and for kids to lead that normal, fun life.
Yeah, that's it.
Absolutely, Jess.
What, what would you say, Jess, because we've discovered so many different facets of what Camp Quality does. What do you say is the most expensive part of this? If people want to know where the money is most needed, what is one of the programs that costs the most for them to run?
Definitely the kids and family camps and the retreats are definitely the most costly. And I think it's really important to know that Camp Quality relies 100% on the generosity of everyday Australians and corporate partners. They aren't government funded, so you know, any donations that can be thrown their way definitely assist in being able to provide those programs for these kids.
I think, Jess, and I definitely include Camp Quality in this, these charities that are Australian institutions that people think of first when they need someone to turn to, it's amazing to discover how many of them aren't government funded in any way.
Yeah.
They're just such a big part of Australian lexicon and culture. You're just like, well, surely. So
you would think,
it's a good point to make. Thank you so much for talking to us, because this is going to help people understand why this Classic Cruise is so important, why giving money is so important. Obviously, no government funding there. But, Jess, thank you so much for your time this morning.
No problem. Thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing you guys all there on Sunday.
Absolutely. Jess, looking forward to being there. Now, Ned, coming up next, if you want to get involved in the Camp Quality Classic Cruise, you just heard from Jess exactly how important it is to be involved. We have your ticket in next.
Exactly right. All it's going to cost is a little bit of generosity on your part.
A little donation,
yep.
And you could be a part of the official Ned and Josh Camp Quality fleet.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Josh, summer's coming up. It's spring. I told everyone not to get excited about it yesterday, and here I am organising my summer plans. But my car is currently not good. It's currently very, very bad.
Mm.
It smells. I haven't told you this. It smells. It smells like burnt rubber all the time.
My God.
It smells like something's burning inside it.
I ran out of fuel on the GDE the other week.
Yep.
The other day, sorry, like on Monday. I'm the worst to lecture somebody about how to look after a car properly, but I can lecture you.
Yeah.
I want you to get your car looked at. I think it's unsafe.
I'm going to go take it today. but it does smell like something's burning in it at the moment, which is not good, obviously, for a car. So I'm in the market
for... You said to me yesterday when I was asking about the weird noises, you said, this is where the smoke comes out of usually.
Yeah.
That's not a sentence you should be saying about your car unless you're talking about the exhaust pipe.
Yeah, and it wasn't.
But you're pointing at the wrong end of the car.
It was the bonnet. So, I'm either in the market for a mechanic or a new car.
New car is what I'm pushing for. I'm pushing for you to get a new secondhand car. I think anything would be better than what you're driving around at the moment.
I have been perusing Gumtree and Marketplace like a lot of people who are in the market for cars sometimes do. I have, by chance, seen something that has sparked my imagination. I've seen for sale a convertible.
You really are in a summer mood, aren't you?
And I'm thinking, why not buy a summer car?
God.
Why? I should
Are we talking about like a convertible from the mid-80s?
Yeah.
Because I know your budget too. Yeah. You're also not in the market for any kind of new convertible.
No, the convertible I saw was worth $800 and it was essentially
Fantastic. It's like scrap.
It's scrap.
I am all for this because I do think it would still run better than the car you've got at the moment.
It'd be awesome.
I am all for you having a summer car.
I'd love to have a summer car. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I have underground parking, so I wouldn't need to worry about the rain all that much. But like, I would imagine having
a
convertible.
Getting a convertible with the roof doesn't work anymore.
Well, I mean, biggest company chooses.
That would be an adventure for you.
Yeah.
Basically, if there's any kind of summer shower, are looking at wet drive to work.
Yeah, but I'm saying that, like, this is what I'm saying. My budget is incredibly low.
Yeah,
so, like, I'll just take what I can get at this point. I'm thinking, if not, can you legally turn your car into a convertible?
Oh, for God's sake.
Do I need to contact anyone to say, I mean, obviously I need to contact a mechanic or someone
how do you use power tools? I've been friends with you for near on 10 years and I have absolutely no idea how you manage to do this. You get me so on board with something and then just rip it in half in front of me.
What if I take the roof off my car?
For your summer car and the idea of a convertible was just torn to shreds by your stupidity of essentially suggesting you could take a grinder to the side of your car and take the roof off.
Why not?
Of course you can't do that.
Why not?
You absolute lunatic.
Why could I not do that? Is it illegal? No.
There's all sorts of wires and stuff that run up in the roof of your car. You'd be electrocuting yourself potentially.
For the lights and stuff.
Could someone else do this for you? Potentially.
Yeah.
Could you do it? Hell no.
Well,
Absolutely not.
That's why I'm looking in the yellow pages for convertible makers.
There aren't convertible makers.
Power tool guy with shifty morals who will just cut my car in half if he wants to.
If a listener got on board and was willing to do this for free, would you let them do this to your car?
Yeah.
Take the roof off of it? Because, I mean, you would have a permanent convertible then.
Maybe. I just feel like...
You haven't even thought this through. Stick with the original plan, I was on board with.
Buying a convertible.
A summer convertible worth between $800 and $1,100.
If you have a convertible you're looking to get rid of, contact me. I probably will buy it.
Fantastic. I'm all for that. Anything involving modifying your current car, stop it. Stop thinking like that.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
And Ned, look, it is a very unfortunate moment in the studio this morning. Well, I'm preempting things, so I have a bet running with you at the moment that's been running for several months that if I could get down to 90 kilos by the end of each month, I would, you know, have to, you would pay me, or if I didn't, I'd have to owe you.
Yep.
It's been going for several months.
Because it was extended.
Keeps
it was
jackpotting.
It was $400 to me if you could get down to 80 kilos by August.
Yep.
That didn't happen. And I extended the bet and said, you have a full month to get down to 90. So I even extended the weight.
But then you changed the bet to being owing you $1,000.
I jackpotted the prize to being $1,000 because I was giving you so much more time.
Okay, so we have results. We went down to Anytime Fitness in Civic yesterday. Yeah. Went on the body scan machine. Now, my starting weight was 96 kilos, 96, just over 96 kilos.
96 kilos. All right, Morgan.
Producer Morgan's in the studio. Good morning, welcome in.
I do have the piece of paper.
You're the official judicator.
You requested a drum roll, Morgan, which is...
I did. Yeah. I don't get out of bed without one.
Well, here we go.
Here we go.
Got the drum roll. Now, okay.
Are you going to
read out the document?
No, I'm going to hand it to you, Ned. I'm going to let you deliver the blow or... The blow to who? We don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I could be owing you $200. Unlikely, but I could be.
I could be owing you $1,000.
All right, boys, hit us with it, Ned.
What did you say it was? 96? Is that how much you weighed?
Yep.
96 on the dot?
96 point, I think it was 96.9.
96.9. I can confirm that you weigh 96.9, you said? You weigh 98.3. How do you weigh more? You're meant to be working out.
I weigh more.
Explain.
How do you weigh?
Yeah,
how
oh
do you weigh
God.
Nearly
just,
2 kilos more?
I want to point out that both the boys turned down multiple PT sessions that they were offered.
Well, for
over
me, there's
the course
no
course of this.
There's no point for
I
me.
I just want to point this out. No point for you. Look, I'm just going to say for the record,
give me the
Ned
sheet of paper. Give me the sheet of paper.
Sessions.
I could. Here you go.
There
you go. I could use a few. I'm getting fat.
So does this mean $1,000 to?
Yeah,
there it is. 98.4.
$1,000 to me.
I lost body fat.
You can direct to pay that.
I've changed what I'm eating. I haven't done a lot of exercise, but I've changed what I mean. I've lost body fat.
Oh, so you've, been, oh,
but
so
I've
you've gained
muscle.
All that
yeah,
muscle.
Oh,
you're just
I'm sure.
No, I have.
Yeah.
I've gained nearly a kilo
you
of muscle.
You wouldn't understand, yeah. Ned. Oh, just too
does
thick.
It say if you big boned on there or not? What happened? Because I know for a fact last night you got a milkshake, a chocolate milkshake,
milkshake
before you went to
night.
Bed.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So maybe it's not you've put on
wait,
muscle.
Why do you know what he drank just before he went to bed?
Because he's been having tummy troubles this morning.
Yeah, I've been tummy troubles this morning.
I have to look after this adult like a child.
I opened a can of worms.
Okay, can I just...
You owe me a grant.
I have been preparing for this because
money
I...
Money or direct deposit?
Okay. Can I propose something now?
Fine.
Can
what?
I propose something now that's not an extension of this bet, that isn't changing the rules? It's just appealing to... I don't want to give you the $1,000.
Well, you already owe me $1,000.
Yeah, I know.
He's
you
like,
owe me $1,000.
Yeah.
I just don't.
You know what I get paid in radio. Yeah. Please don't make me give you $1,000.
You owe me a grant.
We've got 3 months left of this show.
Correct.
Before we're out of here at the end of the year.
We leave on the 20th of December, I think.
By the time we're out of here at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Okay. Let just
drum
go,
roll
go,
yourself.
So
go,
far, the stakes are a grand.
No, go with me on this.
Drum roll yourself.
By the end of the year.
What?
If we can get Canberra Weekly or Canberra Times or someone on board.
Probably not Canberra Times, but yeah.
We'll get someone on board.
Yep.
I will commit.
To what?
To a modelling photo shoot.
What?
In just a pair of boardies.
Just a pair of boardies.
I will get, you know what a big deal this is for me of like self-consciousness.
December model.
I want the people of Canberra to know that Josh showers in clothes.
Yeah.
That's the level of...
Yeah.
I promise you... I will do some...
Rain, hail, or shine, you have
come
to get
hell or high water. So I either get in good shape or...
Or you're fat on the cover.
Or I do a
boardies.
Are boardies.
You going to be oiled up?
Yes.
I have to... Look, light, I have to give
a light coating of oil.
You can
have
a light coating of oil. So far, you've offered me a steak and I already have $1,000 on the table. If you're a little oiled, a tad bit of oil...
Oh, a tad.
Yeah, a thin glaze of oil.
A soussant of oil.
A soussant of oil. Rain, I don't care if you're 107 or if you're 72 kilos, you're going on that thing.
So
you promise?
Boobs or pecs, one or the other.
Oh, but you're definitely doing it either way?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. That's the stakes.
The stakes are you have to be on this cover.
Yeah. But if you don't look good, then you'll give him $1,000?
No, you just
have to model in the shorts regardless.
You're just giving $1,000 to the
You'd have to give
pleasure.
Up $1,000, but you have the potential to either humiliate me or see me climb one hell of a mountain,
here's
my friend.
The last question I'll ask, and this
up,
is really my...
Size.
This is how I'll decide. If you are out of shape, do I still get to put a thin layer of oil on you?
Yes.
Good. Yep, done. Signed. Seals delivered. That's amazing.
This is so funny. I so don't have $1,000. So this is worth it to me. This is actually worth it to me.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
We are asking on 13 10 60, after Ten's made the decision to axe Saturday Night Rove after 2 weeks, we
he's
want
done
to know
it for 2 episodes.
How quickly did you lose your job? Either by your own choice or by getting fired? 13 10 60 is the number to call. We got Josh on the line from Page. Josh, how are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Self?
Yeah, no, not
very
too bad.
Well, thank you, Josh. Now, how quickly did you? Well, first of all, did you quit or did you get fired?
I quit.
Okay. Well, how quickly?
So I moved from Newcastle back to Canberra and got a job interview. They pretty much wanted me on the day.
Yep.
But I just said, "Hey guys, I'm just going up for a quick break," within like half an hour, and didn't come back.
Was this premeditated, Josh, or did you just kind of go, "Man, I'm just not going back to work"?
No, like, it was premeditated. Like, I was getting, like, a tour.
Isn't for me. The break room doesn't tick the boxes it needs to.
I can tell sandwiches get stolen from this fridge. I'm out of here.
Sarah's on the line from Greenway. Sarah, did you hire someone that quit pretty quick?
Yeah, I think it was, like, a world record, actually.
Mm-hmm. How quickly did they quit?
It was 3 hours.
Did she tell you she was quitting?
She literally came up to us and she was like, yes, I just got a new job, so I'll see you later.
Wow.
Bye. She actually left the
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's incredible when the 2 weeks' notice you'd have to give for a job overlaps how long you worked there by, like, 1,000%.
Sarah, quick question to you. Did this person, was it a casual thing or did they have to give you notice?
No, she was a contractor.
No,
oh, right, yeah, so she was just out of there.
She's like, I know technically I work for you, but essentially the way this is set up, you work for me, so bye-bye.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.